I'd like you to imagine for a moment that you're at a multiplex theater trying to decide which movie to see. Well, there are a lot of options. There's an adventure, an action-adventure film. There's a romance, a comedy. There's a drama. There's a thriller. And there's one more movie. And this movie is about nature. It doesn't have any soundtrack. Doesn't really have any plot. You just go in and look at pictures of flowers and trees and animals and beautiful scenery. Well, I don't know which film you would choose, but I can guess which one you would not choose. You probably would not choose that last one. It's not that we don't like nature, but we just don't want to pay perfectly good money to sit in a movie theater and look at it for 2 hours, right? When we go to the movies, we want lights, camera, action. We want stuff to happen. Well, the same is true for our own lives. We want life to be full and interesting. We want things to happen. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to lead very fascinating and busy lives. The problem occurs when, in the absence of anything really going on, anything substantive or significant, we make stuff up to fill the void. Right? We create stories. We invent problems. As Eddie Oliver, sitting right there, one of our congregants, once said to me, we mistake drama for aliveness. It's very wise, Eddie. See, I remembered. You know, we say that we want peace, but let's face it, we are also very drawn to stirring things up, right? So we get under people's skin, we bring up sore subjects, we fan the flames of disagreement, we gossip. We do things to sort of create something that makes life a little bit more interesting, a little bit more exciting. We tell people what's wrong with them and how they need to change. After all, we know best, right? You know, we want to be peacemakers, but quite often, we're mischief makers. So every Sunday, we sing this beautiful song, Let There Be Peace on Earth, and Let It Begin With Me. And sometimes I think we should have a second verse that says, Let there be less conflict on earth, and let me give it a rest. Now, I know some of you are thinking, oh, well, I would be at perfect peace if so-and-so would just do this or that, right? Yeah. If this situation or condition were just different, I would be in perfect peace. Well, nice try. Nice try, because peace is not an outside job. Peace is an inside job. You know, we can look at people like Nelson Mandela, imprisoned for 27 years under the apartheid regime in Africa. Even in that great injustice, was able to find his peace. We can think of Viktor Frankl, and just enduring all sorts of atrocities in a Nazi concentration camp, but still finding a way to be at peace. You see, a lot of times we are unconsciously contributing to turmoil or conflict, but instead, we can learn to consciously create peace. So remember the great story in the Bible. It's told in Luke chapter 10 about Martha and Mary, one of my favorites. So Martha and Mary are two sisters. They live in Bethany. And one day, Jesus comes along, presumably wants to take a little break, and he stops in to visit them. Well, Martha is the more active and conscientious of the sisters, and so, oh my goodness, she's up in a tizzy, and she's bustling around, and she's just knocking herself out to make sure that everything is just perfect for Jesus. Mary, on the other hand, is quieter, and she just sits down at the feet of Jesus to listen. Well, this irks Martha to no end. And so she says to Jesus, Lord, Do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Well, this is a great story, right? When we hear it, the very simple lesson we draw from it is to not be so caught up in distractions that we miss what's truly important. It calls us to be fully present in this moment and to connect with what is right before us, to appreciate it, to really be with it. So that's the lesson we typically draw, but there's more here. There are other levels of meaning. So let's just rewind for a moment to what Martha said, okay? Martha says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. So here's what she's really saying. Hey, everyone, feel sorry for me. I'm working really hard here. How about a little appreciation? And oh, by the way, Jesus, would you mind making it clear that you like me better than my sister? Let's triangulate a little. How about if you speak to my sister about her behavior rather than me saying anything? Right? I mean, here's this peaceful scene, you know, the master teacher arrives, and now all this stuff has been introduced into it. But Jesus doesn't bite. He doesn't feed that. He essentially turns the other cheek. And instead he says, Mary has the better part. Has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. He doesn't have to dive into the drama that Martha is creating. He just doesn't give it his energy. He tunes back into what is really important. So there's yet another level that we can go to in interpreting this story. And we do it metaphysically. So metaphysical just means symbolic rather than literal. So metaphysically, we can see that, or we could say that Jesus represents Christ consciousness. His consciousness is seated in each and every one of us. Christ in you, your hope of glory. We have the seed of consciousness within us, but it is up to us to bring it into full expression. Well, then there's Martha, who represents our ego. It's the part of us that is most concerned with outer appearances, with doing, with all these things in our daily lives. Mary, on the other hand, represents our innermost self, our spiritual self, the part of us that is open and sensitive and aware. So the Martha in us wants to be liked and admired and successful. The Mary in us wants to be lifted up in consciousness. And so we put the whole story together. It's really saying that Christ consciousness is present in our domain, in our beingness. And the way of welcoming it and connecting with it is not through the ego. It's through our spiritual side, the part of us that longs for God, the part of us that wants the peace that passes all understanding more than anything else. We can learn to cultivate this kind of peace. We can learn to choose this kind of peace. And now is a great time to practice. Because it's Christmas, right? The holiday season, so we typically gather with family and friends this time of year, and we all have the Hallmark card images in our minds of how perfect and beautiful and loving this is going to be. We're all going to experience great love and oneness. Everybody's going to like their gifts. Everybody's going to be on their best behavior. None of the old stuff's going to come up, right? We're going to sit around the fire and drink hot chocolate. It's just going to be great. But then, people start showing up And sure enough, there's that certain person or that certain thing, you know, that certain trait that gets to us, right? And we begin noticing it. And pretty soon it begins to fester within us. And the next thing we know, we're feeling the same old feelings and perhaps even having the same old disagreements. There went our peace. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can make a different choice. As I think you all know, as I've made abundantly clear, I am totally head over heels in love with my family. I love each and every person. They're the lights of my life. I know that I'm very, very blessed. And at the same time, we're all different people with different personalities. And so the reality is that, yes, even in my family, when we get together, sometimes those differences become evident. Well, recently I realized, and I can't believe I'm admitting this to you, but recently I realized, to my sort of horror, that in the past it has often been me who made an issue out of these differences. Thanksgiving came around, I began to sort of reflect on how things have been in the past, and I was really, it's just terrible to realize that my usual pattern is to go maybe 3-4 days, everything's going well, it starts to get quiet and not a whole lot's going on. And that's typically when I pull somebody aside and say, hey, what's up with so-and-so? Why are they acting this way? Ugh, that's so hard to admit. I know none of you ever do that. That, you know, that really being vulnerable here. But anyway, but I would do that. And I would create this stuff. I would stir something up that was just totally not what I wanted. What I wanted was peace. So this Thanksgiving, everybody came to our house. And I wanted it to be different. What I wanted most of all was for everybody to just get along. And we do. We get along. And for it to be peaceful. You know, just a time of joy. And so I began noticing the workings of my own mind. I'll tell you what. You want to see a good movie? Watch the inner workings of your own mind. And so I would feel myself noticing something that didn't seem quite right to me or some behavior that might have been a little puzzling, and I'd, right? And it's as if I could see my old self walking, you know, going over and bringing that up. And this time I thought, no, I'm not doing that. I don't want that. They're being who they are. It is what it is, and what a joyous, beautiful occasion this is. How blessed we are to be together. Just let it go. Imagine that. I just let it go. Didn't let it lodge in me, didn't let it fester, didn't let it turn into a thing. And I also curbed my Martha-like tendency to feel that I need to wait on everybody. So, hey, I'll get that for you. Do you need this? Do you need that? Let me get you a drink. Let me also clarify that everybody cooked but me. It was great. Great. But in addition to that, I just sort of pulled back into my merry self. I just allowed myself to be present and observe. Just feel my heart filled up with gratitude. Oh my gosh, how blessed I am. It was a choice, you see. It was a choice. And I will tell you, at least from my perspective, it was the most relaxed, fun, joyful, happy time we've ever had together. You see, you can make the choice for peace as well. So here are some affirmations that help me from time to time, some tools, if you will, that I can call to mind. And the first one is when I'm starting to feel, you know, the temptation to create drama or make something out of something, I say to myself, and you can remind yourself, I can choose peace instead of this. I can choose peace. And the second is to affirm the higher truth. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. This work is about putting ourselves in that higher consciousness where we know nothing can disturb the calm peace of our soul unless we let it. And third, We can pray the very powerful and very simple prayer. Peace. Be still. Be still. When we're still and we tune in, we can catch ourselves before we go in a direction we really don't want to go. Well, there's one other way in which we can cultivate peace in our lives. So we're talking about, you know, being mindful of what we're putting out into the world, but we can also be mindful of what we're letting in, what we're choosing to bring into our psyche and what we're choosing to dwell on. So on Friday, I was reading the news. I was reading a lot of news. And I became so sad and so upset that I felt almost physically ill, starting to tear up. And I thought, I cannot put this in my consciousness anymore. I must lay it aside. And then my eyes fell on another story. It sounded a little woo-woo from the heading, but I thought, I'm going to read it. I made the choice. So I'd like to share that story with you as a way to perhaps rekindle your faith and your peace. So it seems there is a fellow named Spencer, 22-year-old African-American rapper and producer who lives in East Harlem. And Spencer met a woman named Rosalind Gutman, who's 80 years old and lives in a retirement community in Florida. The way they connected, perhaps you read the story, the way they connected was through Words with Friends. If you're not familiar with Words with Friends, it's a game kind of like Scrabble that you play on your phone. And it has this provision that you can just connect with someone that you don't know and play the game with them. So that's how they connected. So at first they just started playing Words with Friends, and as usual, you know. And there's a chat function that you can use, but they didn't use it. The chat function is when you want to just send a little note to the person. You know, maybe you want to gloat a little bit or, you know, say nice play, whatever. They didn't use that at first, but over time, they did start using it because they were playing every day. And so they would use the chat function to talk about current events, what was going on in their lives, and they became friends. And Spencer even wrote on his social media, I've played 300 plus games with her, and she has become a dear friend. Well, the mother of one of his friends, her name is Amy Butler, heard about this, and she's also the minister of the Riverside Church in Manhattan. And she thought, what a cool thing. These people so different are connecting. And she said to Spencer, hey, I think you should meet her in person. And so she called up Rosalind down there in Florida. She was into it. She said, hey, let's meet. And so the Reverend and Spencer on December 1st flew down there to meet her. And what the minister said is that there was no sign of any awkwardness. It was all just easy conversation. They fell into it so naturally. And Rosalind even said, get this, she didn't know what all the fuss was about, since people should be behaving this way with each other all the time. And afterwards, she sent a note back to the minister. And it said this, Dearest Amy, I'm at a loss for words to describe today. Without question, it was one of the most memorable days. Go ahead and put it up. These are them. Without question, it was one of the most memorable days of my life. I'm still basking in the glow of warmth and friendship. You and Spencer extended yourselves to me and embraced me in a most unbelievable fashion. My only words in this moment are a humongous thank you. I love you both to the moon and back. Ms. Roz. When you look at those two individuals, it's hard to see how they could be more different. And yet, they connected at the heart level. They knew each other. That is the flame that is in each of us. That is our place of hope, our place of peace, It is what we can choose. You know, at Christmas, we often think about peace as world peace. But remember what Mother Teresa said. What can you do to promote world peace? Go home and love your family. And remember, friends, that we're all family. Let's turn now to our meditation. Let's get comfortable in our seats. I invite you to close your eyes and take a deep breath in. Release and let it go. Allow yourself in this moment. Just breathe into the presence of Spirit. To connect with that sanctuary of your own heart. And feel in that place the love of God. Invite you to open your heart to the many beautiful blessings in your life. Sweet, lovely gifts that so often we overlook in our busyness, in our preoccupation with outer concerns. Take a moment now. Feel gratitude pour over you and experience that peace of knowing that you are blessed and you are a blessing. I invite you to bring into your mind's eye your friends, your family, anyone you might be sharing this holiday season with. And very consciously see yourself with them in a space of peace and a space of love. Allowing yourself to not sweat the small stuff. Staying attuned to this bright, beautiful light of the Christ that shines through each of us in this holiday season. I invite you to return to love. And discover peace in the silence. Thank you, God, for the blessings of this day, this season, for the blessing of each other. Thank you for our openness, our awareness, our ability to tune in to what really is important and let the rest fall away. And for this knowing, for this journey, and for our way sure, we're so grateful. Thank you, God, and thank you, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen.